but the first 1,000 feet is his driveway almost. Yeah. That's all it shows commercial.
Yeah, it's quite a ways up in there.
Generally, they took it and made the whole property commercial if it was in the commercial.
Let me ask Mr. Drake a question. Would you like your property to be zoned in a developmental district so you can operate commercial business on that property?
Developmental district is commercial.
And industrial.
I mean, because it seems as though he's kind of on an island there. Everything else is red.
Well, that depends on when you reflect that the bigger part of his property is outside of the red neighbors, mm-hmm. right? And then it, you know, all back here is all yellow, residential.
Yes.
Yeah, behind it, it's a big piece of property, so it does border a lot of residential in the back. But what my suggestion would be, if he wants the property to be commercial, we already show on some of the older maps the driveway commercial because of it being in the commercial district. If we take the time to go out and take some measurements, go back 1,000 feet and see what he's got, how much of the property, maybe not the whole piece could be commercial, but it could be separated that way, right, Tony?
No, you could separate the property based on it fronting on the highway, but I mean, if you're telling me it's going to be several hundred feet to get back to a commercial use, I mean, other than having a sign on a highway, no one's going to see it.
That's not your problem.
Right.
It doesn't matter how far they have to drive. It's right. The fact that if I want to put a sign down there, I can.
Okay.
And I'm...
The thing with your property there is in the back you border a lot of residential properties.
It's all residential in the back.
So if it went by what we did years ago with the first 1,000 feet being commercial, is that enough room for you? I mean, we've got to come out and do it. This can also be changed again. It can be altered later on. We can do another hearing and just for your property.
Okay.
But I would suggest that we actually investigate it and see where you're at.
Yeah, because if it was zoned commercial previously, and now it's zoned residential, it never was zoned.
No, every map I have shows it residential. Just the driveway's commercial on the one map.
You never run a business up in there.
How big is your property, sir?
12 and a half acres.
So it's potentially subdividable.
Yep.
So it wouldn't matter if somebody ran a business there before, if that was the zoning and he bought the property with the intent of utilizing that zoning, then he's still being injured, technically.
So it was never a business up there.
Doesn't matter if it's zoned as such. It wasn't. And he no longer has the ability to. I think that's the law.
It never was zoned.
It
commercial.
Was never zoned commercial. That's what I just
it's always
back.
Been residential.
Yeah. Zoning only started in 86. And from the 86 map forward, that property's been residential.
Yeah, I don't even know the property. I'm just saying that. I'm trying to see what he's already.
No, I know, and I understand that.
He can show
that.
You if you want to look.
And we've had, believe it, we have commercial properties where people buy them, and then they find out the deed restrictions are no commercial.
All right. I think we need to, just to summarize it, I think that he has a legitimate... position there that he does front on Route 6. Route 6 was zoned as commercial at one time. And it is a long, narrow property, widens in the back, and the back does border on residential. So I think for purposes of tonight, we can put all of this into the record, and it might justify doing a municipal curative amendment later. A municipal curative amendment is one that the board would do to make a portion of your property commercial. It used to be that the first 1,000 feet back on US Route 6 was commercial. That was altered between 1986 and 1991 by the boards of supervisors then. But apparently at some point, your property all became all residential, and it stayed that way until today. So I think you have a legitimate argument that you can, a portion of your property should be in the DD zone.
We'll take a ride out and take some measurements first and see what you got, all right?
Okay.
Thank you, Austin.
Thanks, Austin.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else that's online for the zoning map change? I see Mr. Peter, are you here for a zoning map change? Richard?
No, I'm just here to observe.
Okay.
Austin's his son, so.
Oh, okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Peter. It's good to talk to you again. All right. Hearing nothing else,
so
Mr.
This
Chairman.
Is...
Nope. Wait, we have a question.
I just have a couple. Yeah. This is going to be Route 6.
Yep, that's Route 6.
This is going to be Shakopee, right?
Shakopee.
So that's the Water Authority's property?
That's the Water Authority's property. They wanted it switched to low growth from DD.
Yep.
Same with this one and this one.
Yeah.
These are also the water.
They're all water.
They're all water.
All
Water Authority property.
And this little piece in here.
It's Water Authority.
Water Authority, yeah. Also.
And this over here as well.
Water Authority.
Water Authority.
Okay.
This is Pinchot. They wanted it originally changed to low growth, then changed their mind and want to keep it to commercial.
Yeah, that's the Pinchot property.
Well, you have a little bit of a continuous line here.
Mm-hmm.
And what is this in the back?
Ray's.
That's Ray's.
That's Ray's.
That's Ray's. That's it. That butts on 84. Yep.
Yep.
Do you have a piece there? Okay.
That's odd.
What's odd?
It just sticks out as...
Well, it's pre-existing non-conforming. Can't do nothing about it.
Sort that.
That's been there a long time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, the only other comment was I got a phone call this afternoon at 4 o'clock from Richard Kashia. Mr. Kashia is next to COSCIA. He is next to the Hickory Hills development, and he just wanted to make sure that it was only his vacant lot that was being changed to residential and not his home and home occupation accounting business. And I indicated to him that that was the case, that property next to Hickory Hills is not being changed.
He also came in, and me and him went over the map, showing him where it was still in the commercial and what he's worried about.
But I assured him that that was the case, that his lot was the only vacant lot. It was going to be residential, but the home and business were going to remain in the DD zone. And those are all the comments that I received at the office or via telephone.
Okay, so just so that I'm clear, Walter Cressy's property on this map is the way he wants it?
Yes.
Yes. No. Okay. Yeah, on this map is the way he wants it, yes.
And that would be where?
That's this property.
That's
here.
That's property right above.
This one? This
yeah,
weird shape?
All this, yeah. It's all combined.
The four, okay.
And the one below it.
And then the X?
Not the one below.
Not the one below.
121 through 123, Route 6.
That was this one right where his pinky's on.
Yeah.
Right there. Front
yeah.
and back property.
Front and
yeah.
back.
That's Ekis.
Which is in the DD zone.
Which yeah. is the way they want it.
Correct.
Yeah.
For some reason, the county
change the few of them to residential.
The county suggested that they wanted that to be rezoned residential, but there's already a commercial business.
There's been a commercial business there for many years.
No, that's why.
Cottage property, here. Williams.
Yeah. Hey, so that was one here, of the, here, that's here, one of the original county comments.
And this is
weird.
It's weird why this isn't commercial, because it's
business. I think it was because it went so far back that it was.
Right.
It was,
I think their fear was that it bordered.
Because on one map it shows it up to here, commercial.
I really don't understand why, if it's on Route 6, it's not. At least some portion of it.
Yeah, I don't know when it got changed to all residential, but it, on the one map it does show just past the driveway entrance, mm-hmm. commercial.
Yeah.
And these are all the folks. There was nobody. Other than these folks.
That's it.
Okay.
Everybody that called was very nice. I told Mr. and Mrs. Eckes to send a letter to the township. They did. Just so you had it on record. Mr. Cassia, he was only concerned about the house, not the vacant lot. He said he didn't understand why it wasn't rezoned Hickory Hills years ago to residential. I told him that we thought it was, but the county thought it wasn't. He said, that's what Bob DiLorenzo told me.
Well, that's nice that it was the same answer.
Yes. So with that in mind, you can close the public hearing.
This time I close the public hearing, reconvene the Milford Township Supervisors meeting.
Second.
Thank you, Pam.
You're welcome, everyone.
Thank you.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. So passed.
Can I ask one question? How many comments did you get in total? I'm just curious.
In writing, we received comments from Mr. Eckes and there was
Bessies.
One. And there was one other one.
Two in writing.
Yeah, via telephone I received three, Mr. Cassia, Mr. Ira, and I can't think of a third one. Oh, Mr. Eckes too, I spoke to him on the phone. Actually it's the same one. Mr. Cressy sent a written
letter
to the board at April's meeting that was read into the record, indicating that when he bought the property, he had already transitioned it from residential to commercial. He wanted the property listed as residential because he didn't want any commercial up there. And I guess that's four properties with four owners. So
all of them signed it.
Those are his children?
Okay. They're his kids.
Sophia, Victoria, and Joseph? Okay, good. Okay.
It's my brother-in-law.
Yeah. I knew it was your brother-in-law. So those are the comments that I received. And then, of course, the comments from the county, both in May and in June, are in writing. They're authored by Mr. Snyder, who is the assistant mapping director.
And just so you're aware, I did ask him, because he does have a business down in town, and I asked him if he would ever think of the idea of bringing any part of that business up there to keep it commercial, and he said no.
Never should have your business where you live.
No. Well, he's got 15 acres up past 84.
Good.
So what's your pleasure on the map?
Make a motion that we adopt the map.
I will second that motion. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 So passed.
Aye.
4.5 years.
4.5 years.
4.5 years, finally. I'm going to bring it up because he's still online. Would the board want to investigate a possible curative amendment to the map?
Yeah, let me go up.
Mr. Peter.
Let me get up there with him and just take some measurements first and see where we're at as to what would be utilized by him.
Okay.
You'll
report back?
Yes, I will.
Thank you.
that it's the same as property. Is that the Genesis?
Now this, I didn't have them do everything to the map this time because we kept changing it. So.
Thank you.
Good night, Pam.
Good night, everyone. Good night,
tell Bob I said hi.
Thank you.
I will.
Thank you.
This is just approving the zoning on the map. When I get another map made, I want to put Route 84, Route 209, Salt Hill Creek.
My suggestion then is that the revised map is going to need to be signed at a meeting.
Yeah, I mean, we can just sign that map at a meeting, right? Because it's not going to change the zoning at all.
No,
it's just the details
on the
map.
Have. I mean, the big white line, you can tell, is 84.
Yeah.
The other white line should be identified.
But I'd prefer to, people coming in from outside the area, if they look at the map, I want them to know exactly what's what.
Oh, yeah.
County's increasing their fares for Pike County transportation as well.
I don't think they've increased it in quite a few years.
No, they haven't.
This, Shauna, this is the one that I think we need to have up on the website.
Oh, not the UGA, okay.
Yeah, the PennDOT. The bridge project that's coming to Route 6.
No, I also wanted her to put that UGI notification up, so if they go on people's property, they know why.
So both of them, PennDOT and UGA?
Yeah.
This don't make sense. The distance.
What's that?
The bridge is not 4 miles northwest of Milfordboro.
4 miles northwest, it's not even a mile northwest.
Right. I think it should have been 0.410.
Yeah, it's not even a mile.
It's not even a mile.
What bridge is that? It's Salt Hill there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're going to be doing alternating traffic over that bridge.
What's that?
They're going to be doing alternating traffic for a while. One lane.
It
yeah. That's what I thought I read.
Yeah.
That's what they say.
It has been for a while.
No, this is the one up here.
Oh,
this is up on 6.
Mm-hmm. Where was that exactly?
It's up past the Wiggle Turnpike. Just past Shakopee
right
Road.
Right below Salt Hill Power.
Right below Salt Hill Power Equipment.
Right past,
below right in front of them. Richard's property.
Yeah. But it just is, they're naming roads that doesn't even exist. That's the part that's driving me nuts, trying to really locate it. Pine Brook Road, there is no Pine Brook Road.
Oh, there is.
Is that the road at going into Gray Towers?
That is the road
up
going
the top?
Into Gray Towers.
Up into the
it's not on
the
our
Pinchot
road list.
Forest.
It's not on our list.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah, it's not on any. It's not on any township roadmap.
I think it's going into the
I think that's
experimental forest.
I think that's what the feds
maybe
call
the,
it.
Maybe the feds call it that.
Yeah, Pine Brook Road. Federal government calls it Pine Brook Road.
Any discussion on Section 407 anymore?
No.
I just like to thank John Fuller for taking the time to go over that. And the other thing... And we really need to give it some strict scrutiny and have specific standards because otherwise no one's going to want to do it.
Right. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
All right, moving on to new business. We have no recommendations from the Planning Commission, correct?
Not yet. It was just a workshop, so members didn't make a motion. But they will come back at the regularly scheduled meeting next week. And then probably... most probably members will make a recommendation.
Yeah, they're gonna submit the formal application and.
They're gonna make a recommendation on the Alizon.
Well, I don't think there's any action we need to take, given we don't have anything.
I was just gonna say that.
No.
So the next item, gifts for volunteers. So when I purchased the minute books at the PSATS conference, PSATS was giving everyone, based on how much money you spent, you got X amount of free 2021 conference items because they didn't have the 2021 conference because of COVID. So we ended up with 17 free, like 7 hats and 10 little PSATS coolers.
Cool.
From 2021. So I think we should give those to our volunteers,
mm-hmm.
our planning commission members, zoning hearing board members,
mm-hmm.
Vacancy board chair. So I make a motion that we allow each volunteer to pick out one free item.
I'll second that. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Do I have to recuse since I'm on the planning board?
I think it's a de minimis amount.
Yeah. I'll pick last time.
They were free, so yeah. that's the value. But it's still township property.
I need the hat or the cooler?
Yeah.
All right, you get an eye from me.
That's like free swag.
So passed. 5K run and walk, October 5th, hosted by the Pike County Autism Support. I make a motion we allow them, as long as we have their insurance.
I'll second that.
Conference room.
All in favor?
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 So passed. Greenwood Hills Property Owners Association wants to use the conference room tomorrow, being June 17th at 7:30. I'll make a motion we allow it as long as they have insurance.
They do. Yes.
Second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Any other public participation?
Before you go on to that, from the correspondence, the...
You can vote on the well...
Request for the well to septic distance waiver. So DE.
Before I forget, there's another correspondence from Mary Cooney. Sorry. For June 28th, before I forget.
Oh, that's right.
What's this, Bill?
That's the well waiver for somewhere that needs to be
up on Deep Brook Road. Okay. Right now they have a cesspool right at the top of the hill, and down at the bottom of the hill is Deep Brook. And it's failing. And the only way to cure it is to put because of the layout of the property, the only place we can actually have them put a septic in is...
Joe Roke's
within property. Joe Roke's. Yeah, within 75 feet of the well.
Yeah, I know that property.
So, the write-up that I gave you, I told him the only way you could even get away with doing something like that would to go with the Elgin system, because the Elgin system has 2 BODs per liter at the at 1 foot down from the system, which is considered drinking water.
Can I ask a question, Bob? Do you need to have, is that a system that needs to be serviced a lot?
No, there's no maintenance with that system whatsoever. First one was put in 1996, and they took a 60% reduction, which is another reason. You can take up to 40%, but the first one they put in, they took a 60% reduction because they had no room, and that system's still running today. I did one in Milford, I think it was 16 years ago. I had a 10x40 piece of property, and this is the first time I ever used it. And I didn't even do pressurized. They're all pressurized now. That was an in-ground, gravity-fed. And there's a family living in there. It still hasn't gone bad. No problems with it in 14 years with a whole family on it. And it's a small system because it was a 10x40 piece of grass. The whole property was taken up with garage, house, and pool. Big in-ground pool. So we had no place to put the septic except there. So this has come a long ways through the DEP.
Is this where it's problems?
But I would suggest, Rachel had mentioned before, and Tony about getting the ones I've done in the past, this is all we've done, is the whole harmless and the waiver. But I would suggest getting it recorded.
Yeah, I think it has to be notarized. I think it has to be recorded against the deed, and it has to hold successors and heirs to the same waiver, because otherwise they're going to, you know, the next person who buys the property is still going to be able to come back at the township because there's no distance. I don't think we want to take that liability on. But this request is not signed by the property owner.
No, this request is by me, the SEO.
Right. Right.
How close is the nearest well?
75 feet.
And that's his?
No.
That's another property.
That's another property.
How close is his well?
His well's about, it's almost the same distance.
About 75?
Yeah, and I told him if he has a problem with his, he's got to redrill his well further up on the property. But I got to go out and see where the next septic is still.
Yeah.
Those are tight properties.
They're tight properties there. Up there.
Okay, so let me see if I'm understanding this correctly. He's waiving the distance from this system
to his well.
His well, but the neighboring property owner's well is with also under less than the approved distance.
Yeah, all the wells back there are less than the approved distance.
But there's no way he can waive his neighbor's.
No, he's just got to get a letter from the neighbor if the neighbor's okay with it and get it notarized. That goes in the file.
Do we have that yet?
No, I haven't done anything because if he can't get the waiver, he can't do anything.
And the alternative really is that the house becomes
uninhabitable.
And how would DEP look at this? This is something that
if they allow waivers.
Yeah, as long as it's 75 feet, that's really only a 25% waiver that you're looking for.
The system isn't conventional. We're going with a system that is clean water.
But I think he's got to get the neighbor to go along also.
Yeah.
Because that's the issue that the township has.
This,
as
well. Right. What
so
we're doing right now comes first.
His neighbor's well, not his well, not just his well.
Yeah, I mean,
his neighbor's well.
Yeah, I mean it's okay if he waives it because then it can contaminate his own well.
Right.
Nobody cares, but. It's the neighbor's well that we're concerned about.
Right.
But this is the first step. If we say okay to the waiver with the neighbor being okay with it, then you'd
have to make a contingent upon one, and then any neighboring well within 100 feet.
That's the only one.
Executing a waiver. And two, that Mr. Roke, I think his name is Roke.
Roke, yeah.
Yeah. That Mr. Roke execute the required home harmless identification and put it and file it at the references deed book and page in the home harmless and he'll have it filed of record.
Well, I thought we talked earlier about having it recordable.
Yes.
So that it would come up if you search the property in the.
Yes, we're filing of record, right?
Okay.
Recording
different terminology. Thank you. Thank you for sending me.
So I'm going to have to take that one that I just gave back to you, Gary, because I don't have that in my packet.
This.
No, the Mr. Roke's information.
That's attached to this.
It's attached to that.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, so this would be a motion to approve subject to the waiver being modified so that it is recordable, notarized, and that he also obtains the waiver signed off by his neighbor, notarized, and recordable.
Right.
And any other property owners who might have a well within 100 feet?
There aren't any. That I already checked. That's my job.
He's supposed to.
But if it's in the record, Bob, then the next time someone wants a waiver, it's 100% clear that that's the process that we used. Right?
No,
makes sense?
That's the process I have to go by. It's state law.
Okay. So I'll put a motion out there.
I'll second that motion. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
So fast.
And I did include successors, heirs.
Right.
Did you?
Yeah, right. Okay.
Yes.
Just making sure.
Other public participation.
There was another correspondence.
Right, okay, so I'll make a motion that we approve Greenwood Hills Property Owners Associate, Homeowners Association, using the community room on June 28 at 11 a.m. since we have their certificate of liability.
Yes, we do.
I'll second.
Oh, you can have it.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Shauna.
You're welcome.
Wayne, you had a question?
Yeah, just a couple, I'm sorry. That joint session coming up on the 30th with the Planning Commission, that will be here, is that correct? At what time?
That we gotta figure out yet.
Well, we have to figure that out now.
Yeah. I'm all right with 6, I just don't know about the rest of the planning board.
Well, Mike, you can't come either way.
No.
He's gonna be working, so.
He's working?
Yeah, close as I can figure, he's working.
All the planning board's normal meetings are at 7.
Yeah.
But I get that they want, I get that John wants it to be as early as possible. In which case, I would split the difference and say 6:30, and then we.
That sounds good.
Yeah, I think that's a good solution.
Very good. So I'll make a motion that we set the June 30 meeting for 6:30 p.m. and advertise it.
I will second that. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Anything else on the public participation?
Wayne's got other questions.
I'm sorry. I don't want to delay here.
Take your time.
Oh, the joint meeting, is there a certain topic that's going to be discussed on that, or?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we are trying to develop better warehousing standards for our ordinance, because that was a lesson that we learned from the previous round of applications that we went through conditional use hearings for, that we could use some stronger, more specific language. So we have been working on that and have had several rounds of professional input, but more work to do, and we want to move that forward.
That has nothing to do with the section 407. That's
yes, section yeah. 407 was other recommendations that we were given for things that needed to be updated. You know, based on advice of professionals that are, you know, giving input to the township, subsequent to the experience that we have encountered by the processing of the application that had previously been in front of us.
Okay. And that was what was discussed also in part, am I correct, in the workshop too?
Yes.
Yeah. That was what Mr. Fuller was discussing, yes. Those are all the performance standards for non-residential uses.
Oh, I know what I wanted to ask. I'm sorry for being unclear on my end on this question, but it was mentioned earlier, just in a conversation context, I understand that about zoning officer and, you know, maybe looking at zoning outsourcing or going to an agency. But, I mean, don't you have a zoning officer, didn't you have one?
We have one. He resigned. He didn't resign. He's no longer here in the office anymore because he's working a full-time job in Matamoros.
Right. So he indicated to us that he would like to resign as soon as we can line up a replacement for him. So he is not doing the normal office hours that we had because that doesn't work with his other work schedule. So we have been looking and made several attempts to find a new person, and it's difficult because they have to have experience, and it's difficult. It's a difficult thing to get experience in.
I understand. But just the last question, part of that question then. So you do have a person now who's doing it off hours. Mm-hmm. Will that person continue?
Well, once the transition is complete, then that person will not continue.
While there's no zoning officer, he'll continue to do it on the interim.
Right, but the new zoning, but you have a new one though, who's working? No?
No.
Oh, that's the old officer working?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Sean Bowles is still
acting as our zoning officer during the interim period while we are lining up a replacement. Like
mm-hmm. That's Sean Bowles? Is that
he yeah. just doesn't feel like it anymore.
No, he has another full-time job. So, yeah.
That's Sean Bowles, is that correct?
Yes.
So he actually is working these quote-unquote off hours?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought there was another person.
He was, but he resigned already.
Yeah, he resigned. We appointed him in April, and he resigned.
We appointed an assistant to learn from Sean, but they have already resigned, yes.
Okay. If I may suggest it also, I know you mentioned that with Blooming Grove, I think Lehman has also a zoning
third-party contractor.
Yeah. Lehman, I think, does.
Is that SFM?
Pretty sure of that.
Well, most of Monroe County has.
Yeah. I know Stan Whitaker does a lot of the work, but they have either a zoning agency or an alternate zoning agency. But I know they have an agency involved in some capacity.
Okay. Yeah, that seems like what most of them are doing.
It's difficult to find people who are trained. That's one of the reasons that PSATS is running the academy.
You really never find anybody who's trained. You have to train them.
Well, and you're not supposed to be hiring them if they don't have experience. So you have the cart and the horse.
It's always been this way. Yeah. There's never been a surplus of zoning or sewage officers that just walk in and take over.
And that's one of the reasons they're finally offering the trainings in the region so that we can try to get a better pool. Because even the contract, the third-party agencies, have to have people that are experienced and trained, and it takes a while to get there.
Understood.
Anything else?
If no, not, thank you.
I'll make a motion. We pay the bills and adjourn.
I'll second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye.